Brad Parscale used to be a bit of a nobody, a web designer without much of a public profile. According to Forbes, he was literally stalking the web design section of a Borders bookstore in San Antonio, Texas, trolling for customers. But in 2012, Parscale got a customer, a very big one.
We need somebody that literally will take this country and make it great again.
Brad Parscale is the digital campaign operative who helped engineer Donald Trump's 2016 presidential victory.
Garance Burke is a global investigative journalist for the Associated Press.
He teamed up with Cambridge Analytica, if listeners remember, and helped propel Trump to the White House 8 years ago.
Now, Parscale is back. And Garance says this election, he's bringing AI with him.
I've actually built software and I've built artificial intelligence and machine learning now to build our own platforms. And
what he says his company can do is to help generate customized emails, parse through oceans of data to figure out how voters are feeling and find persuadable voters, and also amplify the social media posts of influencers who have perspectives that, you know, are in line with his candidates, which typically are among the most conservative around the world.
That's what we've been doing. And over the next few years, especially 24, you're going to see some of the most revolutionary technology come out of our side. And that's the only way we're going to win, is do it ourselves.
As AI technology becomes more sophisticated, it's become a tool candidates are rushing to around the globe. And Parscale, with his multiple tech companies, has become a key player in the political AI arms race. This has some election officials worried, not about another Trump presidency, but about the use of AI itself.
You know, as these generative AI services get more and more sophisticated, officials are worrying that they could be used to steer voters to avoid the polls, for example, or erode the public's trust in what they can see and hear. But honestly, there's not much in the way of federal regulations around the use of AI tools to support campaigns.
Today on the show, why AI is the latest in election tech and how Brad Parscale became its unofficial spokesman. I'm Shayna Roth, in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you, fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Let's go back to 2012. Facebook goes public. Barack Obama, arguably the first to really use social media to propel his campaign, is president. And Brad Parscale has built a web page for the Trump family. The Trump family liked his work. According to Forbes, he worked on sites for Trump International Realty, the Eric Trump Foundation, even Melania Trump's skincare line. Then Trump decided to run for president.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I am officially running for president of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
And when it came time to recruit for the Trump campaign, Parscale was ready to serve.
Parscale was actually one of the first hires, and he was the person who really spearheaded this ambitious, unorthodox digital initiative that was called Project Alamo, that basically used this extensive database of social media accounts to target voters with Facebook ads.
Then in 2020, in the middle of Donald Trump's reelection campaign, Parscale had a break with Trump. What happened?
Well, so if folks remember, back in June of 2020, COVID was raging. The campaign had promised that there would be a huge turnout for a Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It didn't happen. Apparently, a bunch of folks signed up, using fake accounts and then never showed up to the rally. Trump was really enraged by this. And Parscale ultimately was replaced as his campaign manager. Parscale's personal life kind of unraveled from there. And for a while, he decided to quit politics.
So then you can kind of fast forward again a little bit. There's the January 6th attacks. Parscale, whom we hadn't really heard a whole lot from, he expressed some regret about his role in getting Trump elected in 2016. He texted a friend that he felt guilty that he'd helped Trump win. But now Parscale is helping Trump get elected with his company Campaign Nucleus, and he's been really singing Trump's praises on GOP podcasts. So what changed?
Well, I think, from our reporting, Campaign Nucleus has been building its AI-powered platform for a number of years. And so essentially, Parscale found a willing set of clients in the Republican landscape here in the United States, as well as among conservative candidates around the world who really wanted a better mousetrap, right? Who wanted to be free from what they perceived as Silicon Valley tech companies throttling their access to their platforms, taking their accounts off of Twitter, et cetera. And so Parscale offered a kind of soup to nuts, one-stop shop campaign digital platform, particularly marketed to conservative candidates.
Is what Campaign Nucleus is promising, is it really revolutionary, or is he just kind of bandwagoning off the hype of AI?
Well, I should be clear, Sheena, there are Democrats who are experimenting with AI. Biden's campaign is looking at this too. So to some degree, having a campaign vendor say that they're using AI to do a number of different things, in this really competitive election cycle is not surprising, right? So there's different ways that AI could have uses, I think, for campaigns of all stripes. What Parscale is promising, however, goes beyond that. So he, for example, in a recent presentation that we were able to obtain, said that his company is actually better at fundraising than Salesforce is, for example, and that he has a whole other app that he's going to be spinning out that will essentially be a DoorDash model for people who are going to collect ballots. So I think it all sort of remains to be seen, but there's some pretty interesting claims out there.
You touched on something that I would like to dig into a little bit more, which is the use of influencers. I know when I think of influencers, I think of people on TikTok and Instagram trying to sell me different products while they tap on them with their fingernails. Is that kind of the vibe that we're getting from their use of influencers, or what are we talking about here?
Well, what my colleague Alan and I found is that influencers are actually becoming kind of key political gatekeepers that campaigns are trying to court in 2024. So Brad Parscale, for example, says that his company, Campaign Nucleus, can help clients, quote, promote your message with the largest anti-woke influencer network. And he said that he can use AI to craft media distributions that said there were something like 2 billion plus aggregate followers. But we're still in the dark about just who is in this influencer network and how it works. So we're going to be digging into more of that on all sides in the months to come.
I'm curious, how big of a role is Campaign Nucleus and Parscale's other companies playing in the election so far, including outside of Trump, just like globally with the 2024 election? How big is their influence?
Well, you know, one thing that we found particularly interesting was that he had said that he was especially active in the Balkans, which is, you know, fascinating given that area's long simmering ethnic tensions, you know, proximity to the Ukraine-Russia conflict. He also said he was helping Israel, which we found quite noteworthy given the war in Gaza. And then Campaign Nucleus is also looking to hire an intelligence analyst we saw in a job posting in Latin America. So we're really curious to hear more about this. Should anyone have any more information, please get in touch.
After the break, it isn't just the technology of political campaigning that is changing. There's an entire new ecosystem of people online growing their political power.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket? So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
So if Parscale had his way, what would the future of elections look like for Republicans? He's clearly on their side.
Yeah, and I mean, this is no surprise. Parscale is still in the mix. What the campaign told us is that he is not making, you know, day-to-day decisions. He's not somebody who's sort of calling the shots, if you will, as to what exactly the campaign pursues from week to week. But, you know, he is close to top Republicans as well as senior officials at the campaign and at the RNC, according to folks who we spoke with. And I think that he's looking to have his AI-powered platform, Campaign Nucleus, really become, you know, a mainstay of Republican campaigns. So, for example, in January, he told a crowd at a really grassroots Christian event at a church in California that their movement needed to have, quote, our own AI from creative large language models and creative imagery. We need to reach our own audiences with our own distribution, our own email systems, our own texting systems, our own ability to place TV ads. And lastly, we need to have our own influencers. So for us, you know, that was really a glimpse of the AI future that he envisions.
What are the differences in how the two parties are using AI? So how Republicans are using AI different from how Democrats are doing it? I mean, are they actually doing different things, or is it more a matter of the amount of AI being used?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of that remains to be seen because there is so little in the way of regulation for the use of this kind of technology in our elections. Much of this may be stuff we find out, you know, long after the presidential race is called. But I think there are ethical debates going on both sides. We particularly focused our reporting on the Republican side on Brad Parscale because he's been such an important campaign operative for Trump over the last 8 years. You know, he has really embraced AI as a way to, you know, power campaigns through fundraising, through motivating voters, through getting supporters out to the polls. You know, he sees this, I think, as a real, you know, full suite of opportunities where AI can boost a campaign. Some Democrats, I think, are excited about similar things, but there is this tension, particularly in the Biden campaign, around deploying generative AI in the field. I think that there's been a lot that the Biden administration has done to sort of shape AI regulation through executive action. They are just really wanting to see how they can use it to build audiences, you know, generate content for volunteers to share in the field. They say that they want to use it in ways that maximize AI's capabilities, but don't cross ethical lines.
Feels like we're kind of opening a Pandora's box. I mean, that's kind of how all use of AI feels to me, but especially in elections. I mean, if both parties start using AI consistently with little regulation like there is now, how do we have a functional election anymore? Is it possible to have both?
I think this is a real question, you know, especially as people turn to chatbots to get basic information about where their polling place is. And as we've seen in our previous reporting, don't necessarily get factual answers back. And as, you know, folks tuning into their favorite Netflix show are bombarded with ads that are telling them, you know, things that aren't true about candidates, we are in a new era. Part of this is, you know, computational propaganda that's been around in various forms, you know, in previous election cycles, now just being supercharged by large language models that can, you know, help campaigns better target exactly which misleading ads should be shown to whom. But I think it's really a situation where it's buyer beware. You know, all of us as voters and citizens really need to be, you know, thinking long and hard about the messaging that we're getting and what might be behind it, regardless of where it's coming from.
What do you think happens to Parscale after the election?
Well, I think right now he is, you know, in a good spot with the Trump campaign. Thus far, companies that he's affiliated with have been paid more than $2.2 million by the Trump campaign, the Republican National Committee, and related political action and fundraising committees. So I would imagine that he is hoping to make himself and his platform more and more indispensable. Unfortunately, Parscale did not talk with us. And what the Trump campaign was willing to say was that they use a set of quote, proprietary algorithmic tools, like many campaigns across the country, to help deliver emails more efficiently and prevent sign-up lists from being populated by false information. But what's interesting here is that Trump himself has gone on TV and called artificial intelligence, quote, so scary and dangerous. So I think, you know, we're all going to be watching to see what kind of role Pascal and other vendors who use AI tools play in that campaign, as well as in Biden's and others across the world.
Garance Burke, global investigative journalist for the Associated Press. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Shana. My pleasure.
Garance Burke is a global investigative journalist for the Associated Press. And that's it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Anna Phillips, and Patrick Fort. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. If you're a fan of the show, I have a request for you. Become a Slate Plus member. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. We'll be back Sunday with another episode. I'm Shana Roth. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.